for your prayers today. As I mentioned earlier, the members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church today will observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, one of the two ordinances that he left with his church. They were both gospel ordinances, both pictorial ordinances. We are going today to symbolize the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to read today the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. This chapter consists of 12 verses. I want to read that today for a reading lesson. This was the prophecy of the things that the Lord Jesus would suffer 700 plus years, I suppose, before he actually came into the world. Isaiah prophesied of the sufferings of Christ. Isaiah 53, beginning with the first verse, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Thank the Lord. Amen. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Now, in order to follow the Lord today, and that's what I want to do, in order to follow the Lord and the way that he has impressed this upon my heart, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to offer you today, I'm going to read several other scriptures, and this is the way that the Lord has directed me in this. I'm going to share with you today more scripture reading, probably, than I will commentary. But there's something in this that I want us to be able to see. And so I have made note of several verses of Scripture, and I want to go through these as I do. If you want to turn and read them, that's fine. You don't have to do that. But I want to read these from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth, and he said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." In 1 Peter 3, verse 18, the Apostle Peter said, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, Paul wrote, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that ye might receive the adoption of sons." John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 1 Peter 4, verse 1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered hath ceased from sin." Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, in the verses, many of the verses that I read before you today, from Isaiah chapter 53, and these other verses that I have shared with you from various writers in the Bible, we see that though many different things were said here, and it was expressed in different ways with different words, there is something that all of these verses have in common. And that being this, that everything that Jesus did, he did it for us. For us. In Isaiah 53, it says that he was wounded for our transgressions, that he was bruised for our iniquities, that the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, those who have truly been born again know what that healing is. We know what it means to be healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And so we can see in those verses that the things that Jesus
would come to the world to suffer, that he would be doing that for us. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we're told that he was rich, and that's talking about greater riches than money. He was rich in glory. He was in heaven in with his Father in all the glory, and he laid it all down. He emptied himself and became obedient unto death. So the Apostle Paul said, Jesus did this for us. He was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we could be rich. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 3:18 said that he suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust. In John chapter 10, Jesus said that he had come so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Paul said in his writing to Timothy that he gave himself a ransom for all, for us. In Galatians 4, Paul said that God sent forth his Son that he might redeem us, that he might redeem those that were under the law. I'm telling you, the children of God are a purchased possession. We've been bought by the blood of Christ. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his only begotten Son. Why? So that whoever would believe in him could have everlasting life and not perish and escape the damnations of eternal hell. Peter said he suffered for us in the flesh. Paul said God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now today, we're going to observe an ordinance that symbolizes his death. And the Bible says that in observing this, that we show his death until he comes. And it's really interesting there, that word show, if you do a word search on that word show, the Bible says that by doing this, we show his death until he comes. It really is that we proclaim his death until he comes as a church, that we proclaim his death until he comes. And when you search that word proclaim a little bit further, it will actually lead you to the same word from where we derive the word preach. I'm telling you, Fairview Memorial, every time that we observe this ordinance, we preach the Lord's death. We proclaim that until he comes. And it was something that when the Lord left it to his church, that he intended for his church to observe this ordinance until he comes. As long as we are in time, as long as we are in the world, we are to maintain this ordinance until the Lord comes. We don't know when that will be, but he's going to come, isn't he? He's going to come. This past week at the Old Union School, there was a lesson given that part of that lesson dealt on regeneration. And as Brother Oliver was teaching that lesson, and he was really driving home the point, scripture after scripture, making point after point, he was really driving home the point of the great necessity of being born again, of being regenerated, of having a true experience with God. Well, boy, I'll tell you what, a little ways into that, man, I mean... my soul began to get stirred, because you know what he was saying, I could relate to. I could relate to that. I could relate to a time and place where something real happened to me, where God touched me and saved me by his grace, regenerated me, made me alive for all of eternity, gave to me everlasting life. I can relate to that born-again experience. And I begin to think about how that Jesus was willing to be made to feel so bad. We don't really understand. We don't really fully comprehend his sufferings. But I begin to think about that. I begin to think about what we would be doing here today. My mind began to think about how the Lord Jesus was willing to go through something that would just make him feel so bad, so that we could have something that would just make us feel so good. So good. Isn't it good to be saved? I mean, isn't it great to be a child of God? I think sometimes that we get busy in our lives, and we let that get away from us. We forget about that how great it is to be saved by grace. How wonderful it is to be a child of the King, to know that heaven is your home when this life has come to a close. Well, the Lord became poor in order for us to have that. He suffered pain physically, emotionally. He suffered pain so that we could be healed of our pain. He took up on himself the form of human flesh, lived as a man, and he died so that you and I could live. He did it all for us. And I believe today, as we observe this ordinance, we need to remember that he did this for our benefit. And you know, the Lord has asked us, those of us that, you know, he has saved, he has told us in his word plainly how we are to live, how that we are to serve him, how that we are to present our bodies to him, a living sacrifice, and how that we are to assemble together from time to time and observe this very simple ordinance of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, that we may show what he did for us, that we may show the things that he suffered in order for us to be able to be saved. And the Hebrew writer tells us that Jesus was able to do these things with joy. With joy. He endured the cross and despised the shame for the joy that was set before him. He was able to look ahead and see what would be accomplished by the things that he suffered. And so for the joy that was set before him, he endured these things that he faced. And we're going to observe this, and you know, we are to do this as often as we do this. You know, Fairview Memorial has chosen to observe this ordinance twice a year, and that's fine. you know, the Lord did not tell us exactly how many times that we were to do it, how often that we were to observe the ordinance. And so Fairview Memorial has chosen to observe this twice a year. But he did tell us this. He said, whenever you do it, and as often as you do it in remembrance of me. That's what we are to be focused on today. We're to be focused on that which the Lord did for us. So I'm going to ask the deacons, if they would, to come at this time.